gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, why? Because it's Friday, and we're all lousy with sexy liberals all over the place, for God's sake.
Good morning, children.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. How are you?
I'm awoke to a world where John Boehner's a moderate. That's why.
What the deuce?
Well, he's not a hobbit.
Yeah. Yes, he's a, I love the. By the way, did you see your friend, your old friend Christine O'Donnell, that you used to do politically correct with?
Yes, my dear old friend.
Yeah, she's had to do yet another ad, apparently.
I'm not a hobbit. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect. For instance, I do have thick, luxuriant thatches of fur on the tops of my feet. And that's from all the witchcraft. And my werewolf lover. But not from being a hobbit. Just like you, I really, really love Twilight. Not Lord of the Rings, though. It's too long. And boring. I'm Christine O'Donnell. And I approve of this message.
Go Team Jacob!
Is that left neck chick? That was wonderful.
Listener Ken in Cleveland and the lovely Mrs. Ken in Cleveland.
Susan.
Oh,
yes.
Very nice.
Indeed.
Well done, Ken and Susan.
All right. By the way, John Fugelsang, sexy liberal.
It's happening.
Chris LeBoy is wearing a boogity boogity cheese t-shirt today in honor of Aisha Tyler joining sexy liberal for the month of August.
That's right.
How excited are we about Santa Fe, New Mexico next
I'm going to have
Saturday.
A chance to strike out with both of you on the same night. That's
awesome.
How excited I am.
By the way, are you ready to step in for your teabagging demo duties in place of Hal Sparks?
Yeah, that won't be happening. We'll talk about that.
The owner of the only set of bags on the
stage.
August tour.
We'll discuss what you're willing to give up in exchange for that.
All right, we will. It's always a negotiation with the people.
Maybe Aisha could do teabagging.
She doesn't have bags.
She has bags up top.
Well.
No.
What?
We will have limited edition Boogie Boogie Cheese t-shirts with us in Santa Fe. That's August 6th.
Yep.
I think there's a few teensy tickets just for the first show that was added.
The
second show, yeah, sold out. Detroit, Saturday, August 20th. John,
have you heard that?
That
what?
A really huge name is coming to the Detroit show, I can't say.
Stop!
Don't even hint. Yes, but I can't even hint.
I don't even know.
You don't know this?
Huge.
No. I know. I'm too busy talking.
Name.
I talk to the tech staffs of these theaters. I'm talking with the lighting and sound guys. I don't know who the big name is.
You're not talking to Roland.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Roland and
Ryan.
All
right. So, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, sexyliberal on Twitter for all of the info on how to get the tickets.
Is it a Motown star?
Stop it. Don't shoot. Don't. Seriously.
Martha and the Vandellas?
Yes, it's Martha from Martha and the Vandellas. Let's just go with that.
Yes, that's
in
what
that
it
case,
is.
I'll be there.
All right. Looky here. It's. Okay. Alona says, Steph, I listen to Neil Bortz, but he's an angry libertarian. Yes, he is, although he enunciates very well. He's incredibly wrong, enunciated incredibly clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Neil Bortz went on vacation last week, and since I didn't want to listen to his guest host, I went perusing the internet looking for talk radio to listen to and came across your station in Seattle by accident, and I love the show.
Yay.
I will never turn. It's not angry. It's fun. It's on point when it comes to political issues. I love it. I won't be leaving. Ha-ha,
Yay.
Neil Bortz! Ha-ha, Neil Bortz!
And he's like our radio brother, too, because he's syndicated by our syndicator.
Go listen to Mark Levin instead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, see?
Okay,
all
bro.
Right. So we've got, by the way, in just a very few minutes, we have former Congressman Alan Grayson coming up. We have Congressman Dennis Kucinich on today. Because obviously, you've heard the breaking news, John. The Boehner's caucus, it just gets more and more uncontrollable. It's like a fire hose that no one can seem to get their hands on. It's
John Boehner needs to get his asses in line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess those asses did not get in line. We thought they were in line for a moment, and the asses have a life of their own. It's like the large, angry
asylum.
Boob attacking a city in that Woody Allen movie.
A large,
they're
angry Boehner.
Large, angry Tea Party asses that are out
Isn't
of line.
Isn't it great?
Looming over Washington.
And if you're enjoying the Tea Party wrecking our economy, be sure to thank somebody who didn't show up to vote in 2010, because they're the real heroes of this.
Yeah. So, the endgame in hand, House Republicans struggled to pass legislation to prevent a government default. Mm. And again, as Chris and I were saying, it's can we get on with this useless exercise? It's not going to pass the Senate anyway. So hurry up with your stupid vote. They put it out last night. They realize they don't have the votes. Even in their own stupid...
And they're still going to work today to try and wrangle some votes, which is a fruitless exercise.
I know. While the clock is ticking, as the White House said, the clock ticks towards August 2nd. The House is naming post office while leadership twists arms for a pointless vote. No wonder people hate Washington. Our friend, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, said the plan is a Republican plan for default, which is what it is. You know, and here we go again. You know, the conversations are turning back to the 14th Amendment because he may have no choice.
Right.
I mean, it just this is the point where, you know, I don't think anybody is hyperbolizing. We may get to Tuesday and not have a plan, obviously, because this is, yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah. These are 60 Tea Partiers.
Yeah. I don't want him to go for the 14th Amendment option, though. Because
why?
Well, Michelle Bachmann, I think, had a point when she said that he could be seen as a dictator. You
of
know.
Course, but go ahead and let him still listen.
Well,
this show Michelle Bachmann has a point?
No, of course.
No,
of course
but you know what?
She's
the right
so
wing
what?
Will make a huge issue of it, and
so
Obama
what? The polls
will
are on
lose
his side?
Because of it.
No,
you know how
the
scared
polls are
my
on
mother
his
is?
Size.
My mother's so scared that she's not going to get her check next week. And this is all, again, this is the Tea Party, and we have to thank them for guaranteeing that no part of the Iraq war tab will go to the 400 richest Americans.
I know.
I'm just looking at it as in a practical way. The Republicans in 2012 will use it as a cudgel.
Not if he's forced to. The polls are on his side. It's showing if there is no resolution and the public purely recognizes this is the Republicans. And so, you know, I hope he's not forced to. But he may be. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, you know,
I don't want him to.
Yeah, well, okay.
Right, well, but let him go, let him go one week then. Let him go 1 week.
If my aunt had a... she'd be my uncle.
I know that. And the Republicans would use that as a cudgel.
What, the fact that my aunt has a...
Yes.
And so what if she does? I don't think I even have an aunt. No, I don't.
If your aunt
had that.
I was
thinking about it for a minute. I'm like, no, I don't.
I'm still trying to figure out what a cudgel is. My aunt had a cudgel.
It's a big stick. It's not as big as a caucus, but it's big.
Not as big as boners.
No. The president's carny yesterday. The president.
What a compromise looks like is pretty clear. Significant deficit reduction, a mechanism by which Congress would take on the tough issues of tax reform and entitlement reform, and a lifting of the debt ceiling beyond into 2013 so that we do not have the cloud of uncertainty that is hanging over our economy right now and getting darker and stormier as every day passes for another 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 10 months.
Yeah, top bank CEOs, by the way, other executives are amping up the pressure on the president and members of Congress, saying failing to act soon will have grave consequences. In a letter sent to the White House and Capitol Hill, the heads of all the largest banks, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, warned blowing the debt ceiling deadline could worsen the economy. A default on our nation's obligations or a downgrade of America's credit rating would be a tremendous blow to business and investor confidence, raising interest rates for everyone who borrows, undermining the value of the dollar, roiling stock and bond markets, and therefore dramatically worsening our nation's already difficult economic circumstances. They said the lawmakers must create a more confident and certain atmosphere for businesses and financial markets so jobs can be created. I mean, we are at, like, mission critical now.
Mm-hmm.
The president's carny.
Our primary objective here has to be to protect the economy and protect the American people from economic harm. So if everyone has that objective in mind as we move forward, compromise is pretty easy.
Yeah, it's feeling pre-rapture-y. John, is it just me? Everyone I know is seriously having so much tension in their, like, personal relationships. And for once, like, Chris, you see even people that aren't paying attention to politics
absolutely.
Are nervous.
Yeah, they are.
I talked to a friend yesterday. She's like, I'm really nervous about what's going on. Like, what's happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, people always ask me, because I have a fart joke show, that somehow I will have some direct line on what's happening.
Yeah. I get the same thing.
Yeah, when the nuclear accident happened?
Right.
All my friends were calling me and saying, should I get out of L.A.? And I'm like, I have somehow the nuclear radiation information? Yeah, because that's what we do here.
Right.
All right, 15 minutes after the hour, we are going to break early so we can come back with former Congressman Alan Grayson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Owl. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Something's happening at, what, 10:20 Eastern? They're having a, giving us an update.
Yeah, a meeting or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they oh boy. Yeah, they put off the vote last night because of the Boner's uncontrollable caucus. there's only one man to talk to now. And you can talk to him too.
What?
At 1-800-STEP-12. Find out what the wonder.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Yes.
Oh, we'll never stop calling him Congressman Grayson.
Yes, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I like that offer. Let people talk to me. I'm going to call in and talk to myself.
No, but people are seriously scared. You know, I mean, I've got friends calling me, what's going on, and I'm so nervous. I mean, it's just, you know, you were hearing John say before the break, you know, his mother's nervous. She's not going to get her Social Security check. I, you know, I've got a floaty mortgage. You know, I mean, it's a this really is incredible, isn't it?
It's a textbook example of the shock doctrine. My Amy Klein wrote about this.
Yep.
She said that the way that the people in charge get the rest of us to go along with things is to traumatize us. They want to take away our Social Security, they traumatize us. They want to take away our Medicare, they traumatize us. They want to take away our Medicaid, they traumatize us. It's exactly what's unfolding in front of your eyes and the eyes of 310 million just like you.
Yeah. I obviously love your writing, but you say, you know, it doesn't matter what the president offers. It's that simple. Boner can't deliver the votes. The president might as well be negotiating with Tiger Woods. Tiger can't deliver the votes either, but at least Tiger has a better swing. I mean, that's the problem. You know, you say the answer to your question, Mr. President, is no. The National Republican Party can't even say yes to yes. And Boehner can't do anything about it.
It's been obvious since the earlier votes. Boehner lost 59 votes on the federal budget, the federal appropriations.
Right.
59 Republican votes. That they're that much out of control. And Fox News reported 2 weeks ago now that between 80 and 120 Republicans in the House, between a third and a half all the Republicans in the House, won't vote for an increase in the debt limit no matter what. They
right.
could tie it to a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
And still, the Republicans would vote against it. And you can be sure that Fox News knows what those Republicans are thinking because Fox News tells them what to think.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely. I love your last, Boner is a general with no troops. The coach has no players. The teacher has no students. The chief has no Indians. The bride has no bridesmaids. That's why Boner's always crying. I mean, but, you know, and here we go. Like, we're going, okay, they delayed this. The vote might be today. It's just a useless exercise while the clock is ticking. It's not going to pass the Senate. And yet, you know, I mean, the only good part of this is, don't you think, you know, according to polling and, you know, elsewhere, the president is obviously, people are aware of what's going on here, right? I mean, the people clearly seem to be on the president's side.
Well, you know, we still have the relentless Fox propaganda and talk radio propaganda blaring out that somehow it's the president's fault.
Right.
So
well,
I think that two-thirds of Americans can see what's going on. The other third have given themselves over to the dark side.
Right. But, you know, when you look at, you know, I guess what I'm referring to, Alan, is you know, 70-something, whatever, you know, depending on the poll you look at, you want the president's balanced approach to doing this and want, you know, not to cut Social Security and Medicare, want the rich to pay their fair share to balance the deficit. I mean, what I'm wondering is, you know, Chris and I have been talking about having to do the 14th Amendment. Don't you think if he has to, the public's going to understand why?
Oh, I think that most of the public will understand why. A third of the public will say none of this would have ever happened if the president had not been born in Kenya.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I know it's anybody's guess, but what's going to happen? Is this bill, are they going to vote today? What's next in your opinion?
Well, you know, I never make predictions, especially about the future.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think they're not going to be able to make a deal by Tuesday. And I think it's because Boehner doesn't have the votes. The only way to get to a deal by Tuesday would be for Boehner to essentially relinquish his position as Speaker of the House and let the House vote on whatever it wants to vote on. And that's just not the way things work. I mean, the first rule they tell you the very first day you show up is always vote with your party. And the reason for that is that if it doesn't happen, then, you know, people actually get to do what they want to do instead of doing what those 5 to 10 people who decide everything in the House of Representatives want you to do. Mm-hmm. So there would have to be a total breakdown in party unity on the part of the Republicans, and they'd have to establish what I referred to in my email as the same caucus, the people who want to actually increase the debt limit without cutting Social Security, without cutting Medicare, without cutting Medicaid. And certainly there are enough Democrats and probably enough Republicans, although they're a minority, a small minority of their party, to come up with that enough votes, 218 votes, to pass something to accomplish that. The problem is that the entire Republican Party establishment is now standing in their way and thwarting those efforts. So the party breakdown is going to have to change by the Republican Party establishment breaking down.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen between now and Tuesday. I think
right.
It will happen after Tuesday once people see the result. The result, as far as I can see, is that the doctors in the hospitals are not going to get paid for their Medicare and their Medicaid. The student loans to start school in August and September. That's when colleges start. That's when they need to have their tuition paid. And they're not going to have money for student loans. And, the worst part of all, the military contractors are not going to get paid.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
How horrible is that?
Yeah.
You know,
how are they going
to
buy the kegs?
Have to have a bake sale.
Yeah.
That's the part that's really, really going to upset
right.
people.
Right.
The military contract. Now, the.
Future and former congressman, saw a little breaking news. The president is going to speak in about 50 minutes from now, which we will carry live. So. You know, we'll see what the update is or what he's going to say. That's not that far in the future, though, 50 minutes. What do you think he's going to say?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what he's not going to say. What he's not going to say is that the Republicans are responsible for this mess, and they're the mm-hmm. ones who are making it happen. I've been watching very closely about what has actually been saying about this, and they've been blaming Congress as if it's Congress's fault,
right.
and they've been blaming the Washington way of doing things as if it's the Washington way of doing things fault. No, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's the Republicans.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's what the president needs to
well,
say.
Well,
if the president needs to say that, if the president said, for God's sake, look, remember when the government was being shut down, even triangulating President Clinton figured out at that point that it was time to stop triangulating and start to explain to people it's the Republicans and Newt Gingrich that are making this happen.
And he was successful in doing that. Yep.
That's right.
Well,
but the president
right.
still hasn't done that. He's still in love with his bipartisanship.
Well, except that, you know, when you can point to Harry Reid's bill and say, this is everything they wanted. So, you like you say.
That's real compromise.
Congressman, this is not, everybody's the same. This is very, very stark. Can you hang on with us through the break for a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Oh, God bless America, and God bless Alan Grayson. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. I need my Grayson to spoon with during it. It's a very tense day.
I think he would take you up on that.
29 minutes. The wife and kids can come. I don't care. It's not that kind of spooning. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Congressman Alan Grayson next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Seeing you fall apart, it's sad and beautiful.
Aww.
These drops are a little too close to home. 34
what?
Minutes.
It is sad and beautiful.
Shut up. 34 minutes after. Shut up! I have my Congressman Grayson to spoon with. Hello, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson.
Hi.
He's so dreamy. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number to face the Grayson. If you have any questions or concerns, and why would you at this point? There's nothing happening. And now, a couple of different headlines, Congressman, I want to run by you. Representative Cummings, Obama should ask for a clean bill to raise the debt ceiling. Congressional Black Caucus Chair, we will only support a clean debt ceiling vote. I mean, things are fraying on many levels here, aren't they? I mean, in terms of on the left and the right, aren't they?
Well, look, this is what I've been saying. You could actually get 218 people in the House at this point, both Democrats and Republicans, mostly Democrats, to pass a bill that increases the debt limit without cutting Social Security and without cutting Medicare. The votes are there. It's just that they're being thwarted by the Republican leadership.
Yeah.
Republican leadership is standing in the way. But the Black caucus is over 50 members. The Latino caucus is almost 40 members. I'm sure there's a lot of people who feel at this point that, that we need to stop hurting ourselves. You know, we're such a powerful country. The worst things that ever happen to us are the things we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a perfect example of this.
Yeah, it's we're like, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself. This is where we're at. 1-800-STEPH-12. Let me, I know how to, I got to do this. There,
yes.
See, I did it right. Okay, hang on. Janine in Los Angeles, you're on with Congressman Grayson. Hey, Janine.
Oh, hi.
Hi,
Stephanie. I listen to your show every day. I love you guys. You get me to work, laughing all the time.
You have exquisite taste.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But this is the first time I've wanted to pull over and actually make a call. I did not like what Chris said this morning when he said, I hope that he doesn't go for the 14th Amendment, you know, Obama.
Yeah, no one ever likes anything Chris says. That's his job.
I'm just looking
true.
At it as
that's
a pragmatic election issue.
Well, when he said Michelle Bachmann, the way I feel is this. I'm a baby boomer. I've been in education for many years. I taught government. And the way I look at it is Obama has done everything he can. In fact, I'm kind of tired of this diplomatic way.
Thank you.
It's very clear what the Republican T whatever morons are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama needs to finally just, he's got to protect the people and
testify.
The T-hobbits, yeah. Congressman Grayson, what do you think?
I think that when I listen to the show, I'm amazed by how articulate and intelligent the callers are. I sometimes listen to the other side and people call in and say that, first thing they say is they're not racists.
Yeah.
But
my favorite
Americans,
prefix.
They're just not happy that the president was born in Kenya.
Yes.
That's the only thing that bothers them.
Yeah.
They're not pretty racist, though. So what a breath of fresh air to listen to this crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's very clear what they're doing. They don't want Obama to have another term. They will sacrifice everyone's good for it. So it's time for him to just protect the people.
And Congressman, do you agree with Janine, though, that on the 14th Amendment, or do you agree with Chris, who no one ever agrees with? Is it going to hurt the president politically?
It's not just the 14th Amendment, it's the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment says you can't be denied your property by the government without due process and just compensation. So we're about to see huge numbers of people.
This is like a gospel song. Janine's like, yeah, testify.
But not just the Wall Street bondholders, but also the doctors who perform services for seniors and poor people. The terrible, overborne, exploited military contractors.
Yeah.
All these
mm-hmm.
people are about to lose their property as a result of a statute of the United States government. It's not even close to being constitutional.
Janine, hallelujah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, testify.
Is there any way that Speaker Boehner is not destroyed by this outcome? I mean, no matter which way it goes, if we pass the debt ceiling or if we default, how does it not destroy John Boehner with his own
party? Now we'll give him something to cry about.
I'm not sure that there's a lot of people who are not going to be able to bring themselves to vote for Eric Cantor for Speaker of the House regardless.
Exactly.
So that's his, I mean, you know, as Nixon used to say, you really want Agnew for president? I think now Boehner can say the same thing about Cantor.
Yep.
So that's his secret weapon for staying in control.
Yeah.
I think
you want Adam's apple?
Yeah.
Michael in Chicago, you're on with Alan Grayson. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask the congressman, and I guess you guys are touching on it already, but what is the political practicality and also the legality of invoking the 14th Amendment? I know that President Truman actually did it once during his term in office for some reason, so there is precedent for this. And also, you know, I think it's the only option we have left that's practical. And also, if we won't understand what the Republicans are all about, all you have to do is read Ayn Rand. I mean, they are following her chapter by chapter, verse by verse. They are disciples of Ayn Rand. She calls the shots as far as the philosophy. They're following her ideology. Thank you.
And she's been dead.
The proper way to do this would have been for the president or someone else in a position of authority, like the Secretary of the Treasury, to file a lawsuit for a declaratory judgment establishing that the debt limit is unconstitutional. That should have been done, seeing that this didn't just jump up and out of nowhere at us. That should have been done a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this
that wasn't done, the president has to take unilateral action and then face the lawsuits that will result against him, saying that what he is doing is unconstitutional because his job is to faithfully execute the laws, and that includes the Fed money.
What about national?
So he's going to get sued.
What about national security? I mean, you know what I mean? It's just somebody was making the point about if foreign entity was doing this to us and to our economy. I mean, it just seems like this really is such an unprecedented situation. Do you think there's any other grounds legally?
Well, I've looked into them and I haven't found any, but I mean, you only need one good ground in order to do this legally. And
right.
I think that he can make a good argument on the 14th Amendment, the 5th Amendment, and so on. I also think that he can make the argument that the statutes are now in conflict. We have appropriations bills saying spend the money, and we have a debt limit saying don't spend the money. So he can say, look, I've got to just choose between one and the other. It's my job to faithfully execute the laws, but in this case, the laws conflict. I have to pick the ones that I think are the ones that supersede the others.
Yep. Eric in Harlem, you're on with Alan Grayson. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Seth.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Grayson, the former future senator.
Yes.
I want to say that, number one, Mr. Grayson, you are I'm a huge fan of yours, and I hope you make it back into politics.
I just want to make it.
Well, I think he will. In that there's kind of record buyer's remorse right now, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, I do on a large scale. And one of the things I want to say is I really believe number one that the president should execute the 14th Amendment. I don't think it should have been on the table because I think that it would have got the negotiations would have gotten bogged down. I don't think the president should come out and put this all on the Republicans. It's only going to make matters worse. We're past that point. What we're past is the point of finger pointing. I think we're at this point. We need to find a logical solution to this, and we know that we're not dealing with logical people. We're dealing with extremists.
Yeah.
And you can't negotiate with terrorists. But we're there.
I don't usually use that kind of rhetoric, but you know, Congressman, he has a point, isn't it? It really is like negotiating with terrorists at this point. It's the overused expression hostage crisis, right?
Well, you know, as I said earlier in the show, it's the shock doctrine. There's a fine line between shock and terror.
Yeah.
A very fine line.
Yeah, I just don't remember. I mean, as you know, my dad was in Congress for 14 years. I just don't remember our country being governed this way. We've always had differences, you know, but it's you know, like you say, that their point is not to govern or to make a deal or on anything.
No, there are a large, substantial number of Republicans in the House, dozens of them at this point. I mean, you can identify who they are by their votes, who actually want Social Security to fail. They actually want Medicare to fail. They want the government to stop performing its valuable economic function of fiscal policy. The government has been borrowing money and spending it not just for the hell of it, but because that was necessary to keep the economy going. We have a $14 trillion economy with $13 trillion worth of demand. If we didn't have the government running these deficits, then unemployment would be 20%, not 9%.
Yep.
It's simple arithmetic.
Yep. John in Chicago, you're on with former and future Congressman Grayson. Hi, John.
Hi. Could I be the official technosexual of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Official, pardon me?
Official technosexual.
Oh, sure.
You missed the
awesome.
Float in parade, too, because we got detoured when they shortened the route. You missed part of the parade, so...
Okay. All right. Go ahead. What's your
personal apology to the congressman for having left a nasty message on his machine when the health care bill was so bad? And you guys did get some good stuff in it, but at that point I was like, just give it up. Just don't vote for that thing. So you did good for us, congressman. Thank you. Hello?
Yes, listening. I always get quiet when people compliment because I want them to keep going.
He doesn't want to impede that.
I thought we lost out. On the debt ceiling, I may be crazy, but I think what the president at this point should do, having done the conciliator thing so long, he should wait until like the evening of the second when we've been in default for a day and go to the Supreme Court and request a declarative judgment. Put it in their court. Can I do the 14th and the 5th or no? Now they could say no, which they may very well say, and then he can go back to Congress and say, give me a clean bill now. They can say yes, in which case he's covered. They can't impeach him. They can't sue him. Or they can say, we won't comment until you do it, in which case people will hate the Supreme Court, and they will wake up and realize at this point, that's the only reason I consider voting for Obama again, is because of the terror of getting more illegal.
Okay. Congressman, can you untangle that legal pretzel? Because I don't really understand.
Well,
and does the makeup of the Supreme Court concern you, though, at this point? Well,
of course.
On any of this.
The fundamental problem is that once you start to talk in that level of detail about process, you lose track of the substance. The substance is that the unemployment rate is about to jump from 9% to about 15%.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be massive layoffs by the federal government, but also massive layoffs by the hospitals, by the schools, by doctors' offices, by military contractors. They're suddenly not going to spend $50 billion a month on Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
They're not going to spend $30 billion a month on defense contracting. These are going to immediately tear huge holes in the economy. People are going to lose their jobs. They're going to stop paying their rent. They're
going to stop FAA,
they're going to stop buying pizza.
Right. The FAA has been forced into a partial shutdown. I mean, you know, there's your small government. Yeah, who needs to tell people where to land the planes? Just land wherever you want. I mean, it's really, you know, you're right. I mean, these are real world consequences that are happening now.
That's right. I've been to places that have undergone this kind of massive economic dislocation, and it's not pretty. You know, people not only lose their jobs, their homes, their savings, they lose their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you're about to see. How can we expect that doctors are going to treat a 78-year-old cancer patient when they're not being paid? How are they supposed to make their own payroll?
Yeah.
Are they supposed to pay for the tests, pay for the nurses, pay for the equipment, pay for the electricity? How is that going to happen if we're not paying the doctors for the Medicare program any longer?
Yeah. Congressman, we are out of time. Thanks for not making me feel better, but terrifying me even further. I appreciate it. I am now.
I just think of the spooning. That's all.
I am going to white knuckle it through the rest of the morning without you. Former and future Congressman Alan Grayson, thanks so much for your time, honey.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk soon. There
he goes. He's awesome.
Oh,
good
just
Lord.
Awesome and terrifying. All right. I'm going to, you know what? I'm just going to lay down and you guys continue.
Have you called your mortgage broker yet?
No.
No?
46 minutes. I've got my therapist on one line and my mortgage broker on the other line.
Oh,
47
boy.
Minutes. Where's my migraine pills? 47 minutes after the hour, right back. The president speaks live in less than half an hour. We'll carry that live right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
Oh.
Yippee, oh, yippee,
oh.
Yeah. Yeah, get it, old Max, and free and so handsome. Romantic. And athletic, wow.
Oh, is the mic on? 52 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. And the president speaking, about what, 20 minutes, half an hour?
Well, yeah.
You know, he sometimes is late.
Sometimes?
Scampy, yes. scampy.
All the time.
All right.
Oh, it's like a Guns N' Roses concert with this guy. Starts when he wants it to start. Are we allowed to speak over the president and make respectful fun of him?
Yes.
It's not like we're in crisis or anything. John Fugelsang. Don't make me Sister Mary Oliphant you.
Can I just say something? Someday we're all going to die and our lives will flash before our eyes and we'll see ourselves getting our parents' love and getting hurt for the first time and going to school and giving love and falling in love and doing good deeds and growing. And then we're all going to be so disappointed at that one period of our lives where we cared so much about the debt ceiling that one time.
Yeah.
This is a drag. It's the fault of 60 freshman congressmen who are trying to wreck We the People. I won't even call them hobbits. They're Death Eaters. I'm going to go Harry Potter on these people.
Go all Harry Potter on
them. And seeing how much they hate McCain makes me so excited for Mitt Romney, because the Republicans are going to have for two elections in a row a nominee that most of them hate.
Screechy online about McCain yesterday.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
They hate Romney almost as much as they hate McCain.
Yep.
That's awesome. David in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, David.
Who doesn't hate Romney? Even Mrs. Romney.
Yeah.
You guys are talking about the 14th Amendment, and you're talking about negotiating with terrorists, or in this case, idiots.
Mm.
And Chris is worried about the president being called a dictator.
Chris is always worried.
No, I know.
I know. I'm a wilting little flower.
Okay. The next 30-year-old I see in a McDonald's asking his 18-month-old, do you want an order of hash browns, or do you want a side of fruit salad?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to eat outside on the patio or inside in one of these booths? The kid's 18 months old.
Yeah.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay? Negotiation is good up to a point, as long as the other side understands what you're saying. when it doesn't, I mean, what's the logical extension? The next question to the 18-month-old, which of James Joyce's novels do you prefer? Do you
yes. Okay. It's, you're exactly right. It's what's the point of asking that whiny Eric Cantor anything? I can't wait. Eric Cantor yesterday. Here he is. I don't understand.
Harry Reid has three different options. One is to suffer the economic consequences of default, which I hope, which all of us
Harry
hope
Reid has
he doesn't choose.
No.
Two is to bring up the bill that we sent prior, the one that he claims to be opposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
to accept the compromise bill that we are sending over today so we can resolve this crisis and get on about the business of this country.
Oh, no, you didn't, Adam's apple. Sorry.
If Othello had been orange, Eric Cantor would be Iago. Because that's his whole thing. He wants to sabotage Boehner and get the gig.
Yeah,
it's so funny to watch.
I know.
And, you know, how many times when the Republicans raised the debt ceiling for Bush seven times, how many times there did they demand a balanced budget or cut cap and balance?
Look at the headline right now. Dow sinks as default closes in.
Yep.
Thanks, Adam's apple. Here he is.
Harry Reid can't have it both ways. The fact is the president has asked us to compromise.
Yeah.
We've compromised.
No, you have not.
We sent over our idea,
our
the
idea
vision
of, a compromise.
Of how we would take this country forward
That's
if we were
not
in control.
A compromise.
That was cut, cap, and balance. The Senate dispensed with that immediately.
He's such a whiny little panty waste. Here's some more whining from Adam's apple before we continue.
We've heard a lot from the majority leader in the United States Senate. And when he says that we are going to face economic collapse if we don't get something done by Tuesday. But yet, he keeps killing the measures that we send over.
Oh. Aren't these guys...
I want the fruit salad. I am to sit on the patio.
Can I say the Republicans voted to raise the debt ceiling 17 times under Reagan, 7 times under Bush? Aren't they kind of like the adulterous husband who's so angry when his wife has her first affair? How could you do this to our marriage?
What have you done to me, you biatch?
It meant nothing when I did it. That was meaningless. But when you do it, it's horrible.
Exactly. Ken in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John Fugelsang. Hello, Ken.
Hi. You guys
what are you laughing at, young man? This is serious.
How dare you? How dare you?
You know, Boehner insistently keeps on saying that Obama, while item number one, he should be addressed as a president. Okay, Boehner keeps on saying that he had no plan whatsoever. Well, the last address the president gave, he outlined his plan. And isn't the president doing their work for them, kind of like Congress asking dad to do their own homework?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think he's going all shaft on their ass in about 20 minutes, in my opinion. The Boehner yesterday about his
bill. The bill's not perfect. I've never said it was perfect. Nobody in my caucus believes it's perfect.
I spilled bourbon on it. I can't even read it.
But what this bill reflects is a sincere, honest effort to end this crisis.
No, it doesn't.
Well, then get your caucus together and vote for it if you think
it's Get your unwieldy asses in line. Why are they so unwieldy?
God, he's such a failure as a speaker.
Oh, he is. He's bizarre.
For the sake of jobs, for the sake of our country, I'm asking the representatives in the House in a bipartisan way and asking my colleagues in the Senate, let's pass this bill and end this crisis.
How can you get it passed in a bipartisan way when you can't even get your own side to vote for it?
Mm-hmm.
Boehner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good
Sit down,
Lord.
Man. He's done. They're going to eat him. And that's it. Moderate Republicans, after the Tea Party eats all the gays and the unions and the liberals and the working folks, they're coming for you.
Kamala.
Educated moderates.
Yep.
Hello?
Kamala, real quick, in Gary, Indiana. Go ahead.
I would like to disagree with the gentleman who said that they're Death Eaters from the Harry Potter series.
Yes. What are they, Dementors?
Yes, I would argue that they're Dementors because they suck the life out of everyone around you.
What is this, Comic-Con?
Yeah. we're like it's a geek out. We're like a
I
geek
know, I'm a Harry
here.
Potter geek. I've outed myself.
All right. We're all such geeks. 58 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Fugelsang on the
And Representative Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, oh, yes, and the president.
Yes.
Sorry. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Camellia did with a e-card. Thank God we averted the disaster of not being able to watch football while the country plummets toward financial ruin. Yes, I think that's important. Speaking of importance, I just got to be live with Congressman Dennis Kucinich last Saturday in Seattle for the Big Town Hall. He joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good to be on with you again.
And, you too. It was so great to see you in person and do the town hall with you. We all, as you know, just love you with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns.
What a way to start the day.
Well, as you know, the president is speaking in about, maybe 15 minutes from now or so. Where are we? This is just terrifying, isn't it?
Well, it's disconcerting, to say the least. First of all, we should have a clean vote on a debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I gave a speech this morning on the floor of the House in which I said, we shouldn't be burning down the House with an argument over a rate, over the height of the ceiling.
Yeah.
We have all these issues we can talk about for the next election, but we have an obligation to keep the financial affairs of our House in order, and that involves raising the ceiling, and we should not be putting all these contingencies on raising the ceiling.
Well, Congressman, I made almost the same analogy. I think it was yesterday. I said it's like trying to make decisions on redecorating while the House is on fire. I mean,
that's the same thing. We agree.
And you said it, flat out on the floor. Here's what we need to do to avoid a fault and increase the debt ceiling with no strings attached. Here's how to get out of debt, end the wars, save $1 trillion over 10 years, repeal tax cuts to the wealthy, save another trillion, Medicare for all, end the $400 billion year subsidies for the health insurance industry. I mean, and largely the American people, of course, agree with you, and yet here we are with the full faith and credit of the United States literally at risk. I'm not hyperbolizing, am I? We could get to Tuesday without an agreement, right?
Well, there's going to be enormous pressure to come up with an agreement, and there should be. The American people do not want the uncertainty, the extra stress of what this political battle has become. Make no mistake about it, this is a manufactured crisis. The debt's been raised 74 times since 1962, and the sky did not fall. But what happens is even manufactured crises do have real consequences. And there are real consequences that are looming if we fail to come up with an agreement.
Well,
and I mean, this is why we're here. We're supposed to govern.
And you said it best, that at the end of the day, is there a time when we're all Americans? You said in the House, we are the United States of America, the greatest country on earth. We envision wealth. We don't default. We create wealth. We don't default. We build wealth. We don't default. And, you just have to hope that somebody's going to agree we're all Americans and pull us back from the brink here.
I agree. What you just said, and I appreciate you quoting what I said on the House floor yesterday, we have to have faith in our country and faith in ourselves. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that we are the United States, and that implicate in the unity of 50 states is the unity of all of us. And we may be Democrats, Republicans, left, right, but in the end, we're all Americans. We have to see this country through. And on something that is as relatively mundane as raising a debt ceiling, we have become we're on the verge of being unraveled. That's I hope to help my colleagues in the next day or so. Get a grip on things here.
Imagine if an outside country were doing this to our the full faith and credit of the United States. I mean, it's, and as you say, it was interesting to do this panel with Ron Reagan Jr., who, obviously mentioned, debt ceiling raised 18 times when his dad was president. It was not up for negotiation.
Well, I remember that you can have a partisan fight over this, but this should have been avoided. We should not have made contingencies to raising the debt ceiling. As soon as you do that, then people get into their kind of a bargain, and people start to lock themselves into positions. We can't move the country forward on positionality. We can't move the country forward on ideology. We have to be practical about this. The practical consequences of a default are serious, and the practical consequences of having a clean vote on a debt ceiling so we can raise the debt ceiling and then address all these other issues later on are also equally important. So this is the time for us to
Congressman,
straighten up and fly right.
Do you have any inkling or have you heard any word about what the president is going to say to us in just a few minutes?
No, I haven't. I'm going to be interested, as you are, to listen to what he says. But, you know, again, we have to be careful of more polarization here. People have to talk to one another and find a way through this for the better cause of our country. This is really, we're at a point now where all Americans are focused on the potential of default, and this is the same moment when we need to draw on our understanding of our what binds us as countrymen and countrywomen, and not on what divides us, and find a way to come up with a deal. And the easiest thing to do is to just raise the debt ceiling, and then we can fight along all these other fronts all the way through to next November.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Congressman, you've obviously heard the question of the hour. Is the president going to have to go to the 14th Amendment? What's your take?
I hope that Congress resolves this. I mean, the Constitution, which I have been known to invoke every now and then, does provide a remedy in the event of the country being on the verge of a financial disaster. But we shouldn't have to go to there. I mean, Congress is going to have to realize that if we don't come up with an agreement, and it's very simple to do it by a clean vote on a debt ceiling, that we will actually be undermining our own position as a co-equal branch of government and as a first among equals, you know, in the constitutional structure that we have. So Congress really does have to reaffirm its legitimacy as the institution in our society, which does have the responsibility for matters relating to budget and spending and creation of money in our society.
Congressman, is there something going on quietly behind the scenes, a compromise, anything that you know of? I guess we're all wondering.
I think what's going on behind the scenes right now is desperation.
Yeah, panic. Good.
Right. There's things are falling apart, and the center is having difficulty holding. But the irreducible position that we should all be ready to rally around right now is a clean vote on a debt ceiling, no strings attached, increase it, take it past the next election, and during the election, let's argue over every single issue.
There you go.
Tax cuts, tax increases,
Congressman,
Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Jim from Seattle writes a question for you. How about Obama's pledge to defend the country against all enemies, external and internal, paraphrased? Mm-hmm. I mean, what if it comes to that and we don't have an agreement on Tuesday?
Well, you know, the president has his responsibilities. We in Congress have to exercise ours now. There is still time to do it. I still maintain hope that we will. I still maintain hope that we will see our commonalities and meet this moment of truth in a manner that that recognizes that we can keep the debate going without damaging the country. And as I said earlier, and as I said on the floor of the House today, the American people do not want us to burn down the House in an argument over the height of the ceiling.
Congressman, quickly before you go, I know you've been saying obviously you want a clean vote, and I know the Congressional Black Caucus chair said they will only support a clean debt ceiling vote. What are the chances we're going to get that when they've been so intransigent on everything else? Do you think there's a real chance? The
practicalities of the moment say that every group that's come up with a plan that made the increasing the debt ceiling contingent on a broader plan, every one of those things has fallen flat. And so recognizing that, why don't we just go back to the first square, raise the debt ceiling and then have that debate afterwards.
Yep.
But if you have the debate prior to raising the debt ceiling, we'll be debating raising the debt ceiling from now until November. And frankly, there'll be a lot of people around here who are here now who won't be there after November because they failed to understand there was something much more significant at stake here.
Congressman Kucinich, as usual, you make entirely too much sense for Washington or really anywhere. But we so appreciate your time on such a critical day. Thank you so much.
It's good to be with you.
You too, sir. There he goes.
Stop making sense while we're burning down the house.
Yes.
Whoa.
Wow,
Jim.
Two David Byrne references in one.
Let's play Burning Down the House when we come back. Wanna? Okay. Fun. 16 minutes after the hour, we'll be back with the president live, hopefully, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dennis Kucinich in that giant suit.
Same as it ever was. T-Bagger's douche nozzles.
Oh, man. This will be a reunion that will never happen.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Talking
yeah.
Heads. There's a few bands that will never get back together.
Yes, we are arguing about the redecorating while the house is burning down. Waiting the president. Waiting the president who's going to speak in just a mere moments. We will go to that live.
Thanks, John, for getting, stepping away from the Quidditch game.
Thank you.
This Comic-Con talk this morning.
The best thing about the last Harry Potter movie is we don't have to pretend to like Quidditch anymore. It's awesome.
Oh, by the way, the whole, John McCain Tea Party Hobbit thing has caused Christine O'Donnell to have to make a new ad.
No.
I'm not a hobbit. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect. For instance, I do have thick, luxuriant thatches of fur on the tops of my feet.
Awesome.
And that's from all the witchcraft. And my werewolf lover. But not from being a hobbit. Just like you, I really, really love Twilight. Not Lord of the Rings, though. Too long. And boring. I'm Christine O'Donnell. And I approve of this message.
Go Team Jacob! All right.
Who was that?
Senator Harry Reid yesterday... On the
economists have said that a short-term arrangement holds many of the same risks as a technical default. Democrats are not willing to put our economy on the line.
It's not an opinion thing. When you have every credit agency and every economist, Representative Steny Hoyer yesterday...
I am deeply concerned that the short-term plan offered by Speaker Boehner would put us right back here on the precipice of imminent default in just a few months.
What's your point? What?
Don't criticize my plan.
Don't criticize my plan.
Representative Elijah Cummings of the Bracken Congressional Caucus.
The Republicans have pushed and pushed. They're not given much at all. Now we are, I think we're going to end up at a stalemate. I anticipate that the Boehner bill will get through the House today after he's pushed his folks kind of hard.
That didn't happen.
And it'll be dead on arrival once he gets to the Senate. Then I think the Senate will send something over. And then I think the president is going to have to step in. And he's going to have to say, basically, look, guys, doesn't seem to be an agreement here. And so basically, let's sign this clean extension.
Yeah, why don't we have a clean extension of the debt ceiling? Then later on, we can deal with all this other Republican
crap.
Because they won't
Emmanuel...
let him do that without invoking the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, Representative Emmanuel Cleaver said the same thing. The caucus insists on a clean vote to raise the debt ceiling, the same kind of vote we've done repeatedly since 1917. He said we can deal with deficit questions later, but let's not send the most powerful nation on the planet into default.
I mean, this is all about defeating Obama.
Just told us, Yeah, I mean, it's... All right, let's skip down to Representative Dan Lundgren, Republican of California.
We are in an unprecedented period of time. That is true, Mr. Speaker. We must act in an unprecedented way, and that is to follow the Boehner plan.
Uh-huh. Yes, we must act in an unprecedentedly douche-nozzly way that has never been experienced before in our history.
We must do a completely irresponsible plan that will make us broke again in
and
6 months, or the Senate will never pass, and let's do it now to pretend we still have a speaker we respect.
Yeah, Jim Jordan, the Republican of Ohio.
No, I'm not supporting it, but we'll see. It's time to call the question. It's time to see where the votes are and see if it passes, and I think that's what's going to happen today. We'll see.
Yeah, they're already getting ready. Breitbart blogger ridiculously says, blame Obama if you don't get paid by the government. They're already setting this up. A post, if your government check stops due to the debt limit, blame Obama.
Which is why he has to invoke the 14th Amendment.
You're exactly right, Jim.
He sees as a dirty little secret that since the government, through Barack Obama, decides who gets paid and who doesn't, if the debt ceiling isn't raised and you don't get your check, it means he decided you're not important. Blame him.
That's the cudgel that Obama should be worried about. I mean, they're going to blame him no matter what.
Yeah.
And it works great for Gingrich.
Obama.
By the way, as someone writes here, if even Karl Rove acknowledges, we would not be able to meet our obligations to pay interest on the debt, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, military, Defense Department, IRS refunds, unemployment. He says when even Karl Rove doesn't buy your attack on the president, it's probably time to come up with a new argument. I mean, Seriously. Like, but the president's going to sit there and go, Mildred Pearson. No, he doesn't get a check. Like, he's just going to be, like, it's up to him.
Mildred
Pearson?
Yeah, he can't wait.
I know, I didn't mean, I should have made a different name. Yeah. I went with the movie name. I was trying to think of an elderly woman waiting for Medicare Social Security check. Roxanne.
Yeah, I heard it. If we default on our debt, the government will be forced to deploy the free credit report band. So that's
And we can't have that.
FreeCreditReport.com. Hello, Roxanne.
Hi, Steph. This is Roxanne from L.A.
Hello, L.A.
And I just would like to say all President Obama has to say is, I'm the decider. And have a great day.
Oh, yes. Thank you, and good night. Slam.
The consensus finder. Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring.
No, it just really doesn't. I love these headlines. GOP freshmen, we're not radicals. We're not a bunch of radical rabid hobbits.
But they
are imbeciles.
Yeah.
Are we not men? We are Devo.
Sean Duffy, the former reality TV star, turned congressman.
From the real world, Boston.
So many of you like to write about our freshman class that we're radical, we're extreme, we're uncontrollable. Well, of all the former reality stars, I guess he's in Congress. I guess he's, not the most radical. What?
Huh?
But today's important because the freshman class is coming together to get around. No, they're not. some of the freshmen previously took a hard line against the debt ceiling, vowing in some cases they wouldn't vote to raise it. Some of the conservative members, including Tea Party favorite Alan West, are strong supporters.
You mean Kid from Kid and Play?
Don't poke my chest. I'm Alan West.
Mm-hmm. I've tortured one fewer innocent guy than Alan West.
Yes.
Anyway, he says he's supporting the Boner bill. That's what I mean. They're all over the place. Yeah.
It's like every week it's a new piece of theater. I mean, last week was cut, cap, and balance. This week the Boehner bill. These things are all agoraphobia plans because they're never leaving the house. That's all it is. And they're going to keep on doing it. Obama's got to use the 14th Amendment. What else can he do? He'll be a hero.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he says. He's late as usual.
Of course. We expected this.
And he'll be speaking at any moment. It's the tension that's driving me crazy.
You can't decide whether to come out or not. I don't know.
Come out?
Not that come out.
Oh, jeez. You can't use those words anymore.
By the way, speaking of coming out, I don't mean to. Did I mean to imply Governor Rick Perry's gay? I didn't mean to imply that.
No. Not at all.
Many people in Texas have implied, I don't know anything about that. I have no information on that. My point is, he had to walk back his, because remember he said of the New York same-sex marriage law, saying that's New York, that's their business, and that's fine with me?
Yeah.
So then he had to speak to, Tony Perkins.
No, mother, blood, no. No, I mean, what are you doing in the shower? Give someone else a chance.
Not that guy, the family research guy.
He's much scarier.
Yeah, he spoke to him to address those remarks. He said, I probably need to add a few words, meaning a few homophobic words, to put me back in line with the mainstream of the Republican Party. I need to probably add a few words after it's fine with me, in that it's fine with me that a state is using their sovereign rights to decide an issue. Obviously, gay marriage is not fine with me. My stance hasn't changed.
Obviously.
His wide stance has not changed.
Not at all.
Is he wearing chaps when he's in his wide
assless
stance?
Chaps. And his wide stance has not changed.
And he loves his wife.
Very much. He loves Larry Craig. He's so straight, he loves Larry Craig's wife. He loves everybody's wife. He loves everybody.
I love my wife.
All right. All right. So we are still awaiting the president. We have to take a commercial break.
I know, right?
Right? I'm going to need the money from commercials.
Obama's
depending on what he says.
Just waiting for. Wait till Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As soon as we go to break, he's going to come
every
out.
Every time
and talk.
I play a commercial and you buy something that I say in the commercial, an angel gets its wings.
Yep. So buy tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show in Asheville, which is the commercial's coming up in this break.
Thank you.
Cool. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Fabulous. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back, hopefully, with the president live as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love it. 3 in the morning and you guys are hammered.
Yeah. So, what's your point?
34 minutes after the hour.
Called a pre-show ritual.
That's right. That's how we get prepared for the show.
Yeah. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Stephanie makes me drink.
You're going to drive me to drink it with a hot rod.
1-800-STEP-12.
You're going to get drunk with me or you're fired.
When I get really drunk, I do this. He doesn't like it. Ugh. All right. I'm just saying, I don't know how to control the Voters Caucus.
You could do that during the nighttime show. This is not
right.
a nighttime show.
I've gotten a little sleazy hanging around with John Fugelsang on the road.
That's right. I've corrupted you, finally.
That,
by the way, the New York Post had the headline, Raging Boner yesterday. Yes. Raging Boner yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Much as I hate to give Rupert props, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I know.
Raging Boner.
All right. I have decided the president is... with me on purpose now. I don't, I can do anything
to
her.
The whole goal of my presidency is to mess with Stephanie's head.
Yeah.
Yes.
She is such an apologist for me. You know what? I think I'm going to with her hard commercial breaks. I'm doing this on purpose. She will defend me no matter what.
I can
all right.
sell her dogs to the Koreans, and she would
no,
still
well, oh, no, no, oh, wait a minute. Oh, now, oh, don't bring Max and Fred into this. That's where we part ways.
Oh, you're offended at the dog reference?
Oh,
you just lost the Korean demographic.
Jack Hughes.
Just lost the dog demographic.
I just did a Kim Jong-il bit about barbecue poodle, and now you complain about references to Korea?
Okay. This is... Boys and girls, this is what's known in the business as fill.
Yes, filler.
This is fill.
Stretch.
Stretch. Hey, can I ask a question? What's the last name of that Democratic congressman who had to resign this week?
Hmm? Oh, Woo.
No, the creepy perv guy.
Woo.
The guy in the tiger suit.
Woo.
I'm asking you, what's the name of the guy?
Yeah, we could do that. We could go with that until Obama steps up to the podium.
Woo is the guy who resigned.
That's what I'm trying to find out. What?
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
The pervert. All right.
We need to have the three disgraced congressmen form a new congressional supergroup, Massawina Woo.
All right. Kids, this is, basically like packing peanuts. This is just, this is pulled freshly from our ass, if you couldn't tell.
I just handed you a story.
Hey, it's about Sheboygan.
That's right.
Sheboygan.
Oh, this has got, he's got to go on the future husband list, the mayor of Sheboygan, hey.
Sheboygan.
He got in a barroom brawl. He went on a drunken bender for 3 days and got in a bar fight.
Oh, no.
Hi,
oh, there's
hey.
The president.
Oh, wait, the president's coming.
President's okay.
I want to speak about the ongoing and increasingly urgent efforts to avoid default and reduce our deficit. Right now, the House of Representatives is still trying to pass a bill that a majority of Republicans and Democrats in the Senate have already said they won't vote for. It's a plan that would force us to relive this crisis in just a few short months, holding our economy captive to Washington politics once again. In other words, it does not solve the problem, and it has no chance of becoming law.
Thank you.
What's clear now is that any solution to avoid default must be bipartisan. It must have the support of both parties that were sent here to represent the American people, not just one faction. It will have to have the support of both the House and the Senate. And there are multiple ways to resolve this problem. Senator Reid, a Democrat, has introduced a plan in the Senate that contains cuts agreed upon by both parties. Senator McConnell, a Republican, offered a solution that could get us through this. There are plenty of modifications we can make to either of these plans in order to get them passed through both the House and the Senate. And would allow me to sign them into law.
Without cutting the Pentagon budget.
And today I urge Democrats and Republicans in the Senate to find common ground on a plan they can get support.
Not gonna happen.
They can get support from both parties in the House.
Yeah.
A plan that I can sign by
Stop
Tuesday.
Humbling.
That the Koch brothers will sign
in mind,
off on.
This is not a situation where the two parties are miles apart. We're in rough agreement
Kilometers.
About how much spending can be cut responsibly as a first step toward reducing our deficit.
And as long as millionaires
agree
don't
on a process where the next step is a debate in the coming months on tax reform and entitlement reform. And I'm ready and willing to have that debate. If we need to put in place some kind of enforcement mechanism to hold us all accountable for making these reforms, I'll
balance
support
budget.
That too if it's done in a smart and balanced way. So there are plenty of ways out of this mess.
14th Amendment.
But we are almost out of time.
14th Amendment. 14th
we need
Amendment.
To reach a compromise by Tuesday
Amendment.
So
hey,
that our country
Green
will have the ability to
Definitely
pay its bills
Amendment.
On time,
Definitely.
As we always have. Bills that include monthly Social Security checks, veterans benefits, and the government contracts we've signed
Several
with thousands of businesses. Keep in mind, if we don't do that,
Eeyore. Stop a sock
if we don't
in
come
it.
To an agreement, we could lose our country's AAA credit rating.
Yes.
Not because we didn't have the capacity to pay our bills. We do. but because we didn't have a AAA political system to match.
Yeah, we're going to be AA, and I'm going to be in AA at that point.
Rating. And finally, make no mistake, for those who say they oppose tax increases on anyone, a lower credit rating would result potentially in a tax increase on everyone
oh,
in the
stop
form
connecting
of higher interest
the dots.
Rates on their mortgages, their car loans, their credit cards. And that's inexcusable. There are a lot of crises in the world that we can't always predict or avoid. Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, terrorist attacks.
Rock me like Herman Cain.
One of those crises. The power to solve this is in our
hands. Gingrich.
And on a day when we've been reminded how fragile the economy already is, this is one burden we can lift ourselves. We can end it with a simple vote. A vote that Democrats and Republicans
Since
have
the
been
hobbits
taking
to hell.
For decades. A vote that the leaders in Congress have taken for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a vote that allows Congress to spend more money. Raising the debt ceiling simply gives our country the ability to pay the bills that Congress has already racked
you
up.
Lie.
I want to emphasize that.
You lie.
Stop it.
The debt ceiling does not determine how much more money we can spend. It simply authorizes us to pay the bills we already have racked
Thank
up.
Thank you.
It gives
yes, the, Bush
the United States of America the ability to keep its word. Now, on Monday night, I asked the American people to make their voice heard in this debate, and the response was overwhelming.
Yeah.
So please, to all the American people, keep it up. If you want to see a bipartisan compromise, a bill that can pass both houses of Congress and that I can sign, let your members of Congress know. Make a phone call, send an email, tweet. Keep the pressure on Washington, and we can get past this. And for my part, our administration will be continuing to work with Democrats and Republicans all weekend long until we find a solution.
To make sure that billionaires pay no part of the Iraq war tax.
Right. The time for compromise on behalf of the American people
is over.
Is now. Yeah. And I'm confident that we can solve this problem. I'm confident that we will solve this problem.
It's like a naysayer
for
chorus.
All the intrigue and all the drama.
I'm confident
that
Obama will solve this problem.
Hill right now. I'm confident that.
Whoops.
Huh?
What's going on?
What? Oh, no. What?
What?
As I said earlier, we are now running out of time.
Oh, sorry,
it's
that should go the cord.
For everybody to step up and show the leadership that the American people expect. Thank you.
All right. No questions.
All right.
No questions.
Wow. Sorry, I was drunk. I stepped on the cord. Yeah, it's my fault. Sorry.
I had to look down and see if I did anything. I'm like, no.
Wasn't me.
Wow. A little cable feed issue. Yeah. Wow. Well,
yeah, you know, it's like you think you work with jerks. Obama's working with jerks who are paid to be bigger jerks by even bigger jerks.
Yeah.
The Koch brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Aldous in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Aldous.
Hey, so Obama is insisting that not only this has to be bipartisan, but bicameral. Has he actually looked at the oppositional nature of both the House and the Senate and the Democrats and Republicans?
Well, yeah, but the problem is, I mean, he's calling them out, Aldous. He's calling their bluff. The Harry Reid plan gives them everything they asked for. It's ridiculous. You know, nobody is pretending that John Boehner's plan is bipartisan. He can't even get his own Republicans to vote for it. And as the president said, Republicans and Democrats in the Senate aren't going to vote for it. It's a waste of time, and the clock is ticking. So, you know, go ahead.
If this was a casual game of poker, we could have time to call bluffs. We kind of need to move on this.
Well, that's what he's saying. You know that they can get it done. I mean, I think that he's giving them every opportunity to go stop wasting time, get something done that can pass both houses, and I can sign. Bunny in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Bunny.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that my partner and I love the show in Raleigh-Durham so much that yesterday we bought 4 tickets for the Asheville show and we're bringing
friends. Oh, awesome.
Yay! Yay! September 24th, Asheville, North Carolina. I think my 87-year-old Republican mom is coming.
Finally?
Yeah,
really?
I just talked to her yesterday. Yeah. Coming over from Charlotte, I think. Huh?
Can I ask John a question?
Yes.
John, you have this saying about you can't call yourself a capitalist if you can't call yourself an American if, and I can't remember it. Could you say that?
I think you mean about the healthcare, right? That one, that if you don't want the competition of foreign drugs in a public option, stop calling yourself capitalist. And if you don't care about saving American lives, stop calling yourself a patriot. And if you don't care about helping the sick, stop calling yourself a Christian.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
There you go. Sure All right, thing. Honey. See you at Sexy Liberal in Asheville, North Carolina.
I'm a bumper sticker machine.
Bye.
That audience in Durham was so wonderful, by the way. I'm looking forward to a lot of Southern shows next year.
Yeah, my big sister is coming again, and I think I'm pretty sure I'm in negotiations with my mother. It's like a debt ceiling thing.
Awesome. I want to meet your mom so bad. I got to meet Stephanie's hot sisters.
She'll be the one in the back of the theater just continually going, oh, dear.
And her cool brother-in-law asked me to run for office, and it was funny watching my wife laugh at that. That was really funny. My wife,
once a political family, always a political family.
My wife
huh?
doubles over in laughter when he suggests I run for office.
You're handsome enough. You have really handsome Kennedy hair.
Yeah, I'm not into mistresses. I don't know.
You've got better hair.
Well, because you have a hot wife. Why would you need one?
You got better hair than Romney.
Oh, now that's not true. Romney has hair developed by NASA to not move in wind. I can't even believe.
My favorite was still backstage in Syracuse. John's combing his hair. It's Showtime, and Hal's like, we get it, John. You're handsome. Let's go.
I know. He's combing. I'm like, oh, you of all the men I know, you're going to mock me for looking in a mirror and checking my appearance? Really, Hal Sparks? All right. All right. Let's open that box up.
I'm on tour with the two prettiest men alive.
Stop it.
Mitt Romney could re-enter the atmosphere head first without hair.
Yeah. Well, I need it. You know, the ladies love this rugged, chiseled Don Knotts physique of mine.
Speaking of future handsome future husbands, the mayor of Sheboygan, who went on a three-day drunken bender and got in a bar fight?
Yeah.
We have to sympathize him with my... one of our favorite words.
Sheboygan's only in there once.
It's one of our trifecta favorite words.
Yes. Bark, bark, bark,
bark. It's the end of the world as we know it, and we feel good.
Sheboygan. Hi. Okay.
Chris from Yankton sent me an email quoting the president. If you want to see bipartisan compromise, call your members of Congress. Most people don't want a bipartisan compromise. It guts Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, slashes the budget, and doesn't ask the rich to pay their fair share. So who do we call about that?
Who do I see about that? That's Paul Newman from some movie. 46 minutes.
What?
46 minutes after the hour. I'll think of it. Absence of Malice. See? Every once in a while, the wires connect.
Oh, again with the Absence of Malice references.
Shut up. 46 minutes after the hour.
It's not every day you get an Absence of Malice reference on talk radio.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid on your asses. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? That wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Right, Chris, and you can stop mocking me for my jumbled movie references. Absence of Malice. It's that scene in Absence of Malice where Lillian Gish yells, yippee-ki-yay, mother, and jumps out of the airplane riding the bomb headed towards Russia. Classic scene.
Oh, that one.
That's what I was talking about.
Right.
Was your quote really from Absence of Malice?
Yes, it was something about, I lost my reputation, something, who do I see about that? How do I get that?
Who do I see to get my reputation back?
I'm paraphrasing.
I'm sure Paul Newman said it exactly like that.
A town called Absence of Alice.
I think that's actually from the McCarthy hearings, that quote, not Absence of Malice.
Oh, Steffi. Oh, dear.
Somebody help Mommy. What do I mean?
The bottle's waiting.
Mommy needs a cocktail.
Understands. The bottle understands.
You'll no sense of decency left, sir.
No, that's not it. Okay. Mike in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I keep hearing you guys refer to Amendment as if it has something to do with the executive office, but I'm wondering if you've actually read the entire thing, because it clearly states at the end of it that those powers are to be reserved only for Congress.
There's some dispute on that, Mike. That's why so many people are raising it, because if the president is left with no choice, you know, he has to defend the United States. We would from a foreign enemy, wouldn't we?
Well, here's my question. Where's the dispute? I mean, you guys act as if the Constitution is some riddle to be solved. It's not. It's written in English the last time I checked. Mm-hmm. It says it right there that those powers are to be reserved for the Congress. There's no trigger effect.
Well, how come all the Tea Party Republicans say everything the president does is unconstitutional? They seem to be such experts on the Constitution.
Well, I mean, you can bring up, if you want to, you know, bring up what I'm saying into what other people are saying, I don't care. But what I'm trying to point out is that you said the 14th Amendment. I've been hearing it all the time on mm-hmm. MSNBC. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that it says it right in the amendment, not only to be used by the Congress.
Well, some people are of the opinion that the president needs to, you know, to save the country from itself, in this case the Republicans, and then let the courts come after him, you know.
I'd like to point out the Constitution says only Congress can declare war, but it really didn't slow down Bush.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Our country hasn't legally declared war since 1941,
right. Yes.
Despite what the Constitution says. So it's pretty interesting how the line moves a bit when the GOP is involved.
Yes. All right. Things always entertaining here.
That's my way of saying suck it.
Suck it.
Thank you.
Right-wing douche nozzle. All yeah. right. Boy, we're having fun, aren't we, this morning here on Stephanie's Isle?
The show started up at a 10 o'clock, all up and down the dial, with Stephanie, the producer, Jew, the voice deity, and his wife, Johnny Qua, the movie star, Isha Tyler, Sparks, and John Bugelsang, here on Stephanie's show.
That was very nice. Wow, you almost made Fugle sang rhyme with something, just like the actual Gilligan's Island
yeah,
song
try that.
In the end.
Don't try that at home, kids.
No. Yeah, really. Unless you're in a Copenhagen brothel, don't even say Fugle sang. Trust me.
How much for a Fugle sang in a Copenhagen brothel?
Yeah.
Oh, more euros than you can handle, my friend.
Would a Fugle sang tame the Boner's Caucus, do you think?
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Nathan Lane once said that my name was German for huge apparatus, which I was quite
proud of. Oh, now.
Bird song.
Now, speaking of comedy, Representative Michelle Bachmann dodged a question about reports that her family's Christian counseling clinics practice pray away the gay reparative therapy.
Mm-hmm.
She's
oh, I'm
going to
suck the gay out of you. Suck the gay out
you
of
can.
You.
You can. It's like poison. It's like venom. It can only be sucked out.
Rattlesnake poison.
I'm extremely proud of my husband, she said in response to a question. And she stressed that her business was not running for the presidency of the United States.
I'm extremely proud of my husband.
Frank,
I have tremendous
Frank.
Respect and admiration for him. But I am running for the presidency of the United States. Mm. My husband is not running for the presidency. Neither are my children.
Just
neither
right,
is
Miffy.
Our business. Neither is our foster children. And
next
I am more than happy
right,
to stand for questions on running for presidency of the United States.
Yeah,
he wouldn't so
exactly.
much be running. He'd be sashaying. He'd be flouncing.
Well, if he were running, his heels would be hitting
that's
his
right.
butt.
Right. Yeah, so never mind the fact that her personal hypocrisy is raging about taking government funds. She's here to talk about running for president.
He's skipping.
Yes.
By the way, I'm looking at the 14th Amendment here, Section mm-hmm. 4, about the public debt.
Yes.
Section 4 doesn't say anything about Congress or the presidency. Section 5 says the Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. That doesn't say
right.
that
only
the executive
Congress
branch
has it, yes.
has
well, that's why there's dispute
right.
about it. So right. there.
All right.
I know you are, but what am I, sir? Right-wing caller. Okay. Speaking part two of...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Representative Joe Walsh, fiscal conservative.
Yeah.
I hear his Maserati does 185.
Really?
Not that
Joe
Walsh.
Not that
Joe
Walsh, the other right-wing douche nozzle.
No,
yes,
he's
he,
not right-wing.
He defends not paying $117,000 in child support because this is where the real America is. Yeah. We're all deadbeat. Parents now, apparently, because that makes him more real.
Personal family issues that I'm going to fight. Again, I know that story just broke, and it's interesting that it just broke right now as I'm out there trying my best to fight this president and fight the Democrats and solve this debt crisis. But look, I'm the most openly vetted candidate in the world. I have had financial troubles, and I talked about them throughout the campaign. This is where real America is.
Yes, that puts you in a position to lecture the president.
Actually, it's your ex-wife and kids with financial troubles.
I hear he lost his license. Now he don't drive.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Well, that's
it.
Laura Walsh has asked the judge.
His wife was asking.
Yes, to suspend his driver's license until he pays his child support, despite loaning his own campaign $35,000, and paying himself back at least $14,000 for the loans. He claims he failed to make the payments because he had no money.
I was just quoting the Joe Walsh song. I didn't know anything about about his license.
Isn't that weird?
Wow.
Wow, interesting.
He campaigned on a pledge to reject the Washington status quo. He's bragged about his own frugality, claiming he sleeps in his office to save money. He's been described as the biggest media hound in the freshman class. Has been a prominent voice in the debt ceiling showdown, making TV appearances every day to denounce President Obama's reckless spending, which he says has bankrupted this country.
And he's keeping the pomade upon his wheeling.
Yeah, he's precious. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Fugle saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've changed that to the end of the world as we know it, just for today?
Yes.
6 minutes after the hour.
Too late now. That's the last time we play this today.
Hey, Jim, who said I won't place one more dollar of debt on the backs of my kids and grandkids unless we structurally reform the way this town spends money? Who said that?
Millard Fillmore.
No! Right-wing, hypocritical, douche nozzle, deadbeat dad, Joe Walsh.
I thought it was Mallard Fillmore because it also wasn't funny.
Yes. Deanna. Deanna in Illinois on Joe Walsh.
Hey, Steph.
Hello.
Joe Walsh.
Yes.
Our favorite right-wing deadbeat dad.
Yes, douche nozzle.
Won his election by 291 votes.
He's not.
And the only reason he won is because a Green Party candidate ran and took some of the Democrats' votes.
I think
6,000 of them or something.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win re-election.
Still, the Rocky Mountain way is better than the way we had.
Here's some more fiscal conservative fun facts about Joe Walsh. This is not the first time he's faced scrutiny for the disconnect between his rhetoric and the way he conducts his personal life. In 2009, he lost a condo to foreclosure because he owed more than $300,000 on the property. In April 2010, an investigation revealed he failed to file his personal financial disclosure as required by federal election law. When questions about his personal finances dogged his congressional campaign, Walsh once again claimed he wasn't a rich man despite managing to pay $3,300 a month for a house in upscale Winnetka. For his own children, I guess.
Winnetka's nice. Really, really nice.
Yeah.
Curious that.
It ain't no Schiller Park.
I don't know Schamburg.
Hey! Not even racked by money.
Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang, and we are so excited. How excited are we?
You know what? It's so exciting.
Santa Fe coming up. Aisha Tyler in for Hal in August. We will be in Santa Fe, New Mexico next Saturday, August 6th. There may be a teensy few tickets left for the first show. Second show sold out. Detroit, Saturday, August 20th, where the really big name is coming. Don't say anything, John.
Really big name is coming. I just found out. I'm stunned. I thought you were kidding.
Zoinks, I did too.
Huge name is coming to Detroit.
We had to double check to see if that was actually legit.
We thought someone
Roland already double checked with my former agency. It's very, very true.
Zoinks. Okay.
And by the way, the late show in Santa Fe is at 7 p.m., not 8 p.m.
Yes.
Please
and,
get there early.
Asheville, North Carolina, come up in September, and then the big trifecta: Seattle, September 30th, October 1st, Los Angeles, October 21st and 22nd, San Francisco, October 28th and 29th, and et cetera. SexyLiberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Facebook, by the way, as I always say, the source of all evil in the world and stupidity. A fugitive from upstate New York who taunted police on his fake Facebook page to catch me if you can, I'm in Brooklyn, has been arrested in Brooklyn, oddly enough.
Nice.
Marshals and NYPD detectives tracked Victor Burgos down to an apartment in Brooklyn's Bedford Stuy neighborhood Monday night, sitting at his computer with his Facebook page open. He was wanted on multiple arrest warrants for domestic violence and harassment of his former girlfriend, who he probably harassed.
Sure.
On Facebook.
On Facebook. That happens, I hear.
You get your own pizzeria, you can put whatever pictures up on the wall you want.
He allegedly issued the Facebook challenge after his mugshot appeared on the Utica Police Department's 10 Most Wanted list.
All right. Probably checked in on Foursquare too, just for good measure.
All right. Oh, by the way, smartest ecclesiastical milk.
Yes, my child.
This is for you.
Do we need the church organ?
Yeah. Why don't we do that instead? Right, take your organ out. I apologize. Your caucus is much more controllable than the boners.
Absolutely.
You can whip that out at a moment's notice.
I certainly can.
Get it all together. Okay. So no fuss. Thank you.
The Catholic bishops going after John Boehner or the Catholic academics who's saying that his entire budget has got nothing to do with Jesus?
No. Okay. We had a right-wing caller, Mickey, yesterday. She was doesn't care so much for the gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She doesn't want that so much, the gay marriage.
Okay. Well, I understand that. If you watch Fox News, you think gay marriage was now mandatory.
Anyway, Brenda called yesterday, and she had one of the best lines I've heard. She said, do you call your partner's parents, do you call them, mother in God or mother in law?
Right.
Ha ha! Jake Hughes! We were trying to say, keep your church out of my state.
Law. Yeah.
In God versus in law. Thank you for taking my call. My partner and I had to jump through all the legal hoops at significant expense to protect our assets. Enough. No need to destroy tapes or podcasts because I am stealing that. It's yours. Take it on the road. Spread the word. It's about the law, not the church. Thanks for keeping us sane in Schaumburg. Speaking of which.
Schaumburg?
Sane in Schaumburg. Joe Walsh's district. Insert puking sounds here.
Blah.
Yeah, okay.
I just think I'm going to bust.
But that's where the Whitfield Ball is.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Yeah. You don't call them your father in God. You call them father-in-law. Marriage is the law.
Very, very good.
Thank you. All right.
Yes, Michelle Bachmann is my favorite congressperson who's against gay marriage and in one.
Hey, you just wrote that, I think. Okay. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Okay. Sean Hannity on the Fox News.
Mm. We are going to have $25 trillion in debt that puts us on a path to becoming Greece. The country's going to burn.
Is he talking about a grease fire?
No, perhaps. Those are bad. By the way, this just arrived at my house yesterday.
What?
A plaque with the Talkers magazine cover of Sean Hannity and I together. I don't know where I'm going to put that. Probably the bathroom somewhere.
Don't you love it when our Republican friends say how Obama's $14 trillion debt, and you're like, well, actually, $1.5 trillion is Obama's, $6 trillion is Bush.
Yeah, thank you. Glenn Beck, oh, he's still around. Mm-hmm.
I think there are many people around the president that absolutely hate the United States of America. John McCain doesn't, but he has a progressive vision for America. He's one of the good progressives. I got news for you. There are no good progressives. That is absolutely anti-constitutional. The idea of the progressives is to take down the Constitution of the United States.
As opposed to taking down the government of the United States.
Mm.
They hate we the people.
Yeah.
There they are again. John McCain, a flaming liberal, since he's mentioning
He went from a flaming
senatorial fact that you can't pass the balanced budget amendment.
He went from a flaming liberal in 2000 to a flaming conservative in 2008, and now he's a flaming liberal again.
Yeah.
Talk about flip-flopping.
Or flimball, my friend.
I don't care how you slice it. Obama and the Democrats are poison for America. Look at what they're doing here. They are literal poison for this country.
Mm.
Literal.
Mm-hmm. And did he expound on that?
No.
Okay.
Just in reference to this whole debt ceiling debate.
Okay. Laura Ingraham on O'Reilly.
There are a lot of people, again, very well funded on the secular left, who don't much like traditional Christianity, don't much like traditional Catholics or evangelical Christians, have no problem smearing them, regardless of what the issue is. I think a lot of these people have waited for an event like this that they could pounce on and say, aha, there's a moral equivalence between Islamic jihadists worldwide and these fringe Christian groups. And it's just there's nothing to it.
Mm.
Wow.
And I know.
So the murder of all those people is meaningless.
Yeah,
because
I wear a giant cross until it got stolen at Newark Airport.
The only way you can be a conservative Christian is to be a liberal, because Jesus was the biggest liberal that ever lived.
Yep.
Yeah. How many times have I said, gosh, I hope a Christian extremist shoots a bunch of children. How many times have I said that, Chris? Of course, that's what we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's such a twit.
All right. Greg Gutfeld and Monica Crowell.
Herman Cain, you've gotten some hot water appearing on Fox a while back talking about how Muslims shouldn't be building a mosque. I guess, where was that? Tennessee?
Murfreesboro.
Frank, this is actually what the American people want. And frankly, I think Herman Cain said exactly the right thing. I think he has nothing to apologize for.
Noted Islamophobe Herman Cain, he has nothing to apologize for. I see. Which latest thing are they talking about that he said?
That he said that they want to institute Sharia law in our country, despite the fact that we have a separational between church and
also,
state.
He also said that a city like Murfreesboro, Tennessee, had every right to ban a mosque from being built in their town.
Sure, because freedom of religion, we don't mean there. Right. Not everywhere. All right. John, would you like to be rocked like Herman Cain?
Oh, I like to be rocked.
So the liberals, they have an objective, destroy America. The objective of the liberals is to destroy this country. The objective of the liberals is to make America mediocre like everybody else who aspire to be like America. That's their objective.
Stupid people are ruining America.
Then this attempt to mean Sharia law into our government.
Stupid people are ruining America.
Liberals actually were for allowing black people to vote.
Yeah. Mm.
And voted in large part.
And
women.
And presumably to vote for black people,
weirdly
enough, if they so choose.
And women. So they're destroying America.
It's one of my favorite Fox headlines. Fox News confused, baffled by the moon.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Fox News anchor John Scott invited Bill Nye, the science guy, to talk about newly discovered volcanism on the moon.
Volcanism.
Scott, for reasons that aren't entirely clear, asked if the existence of a volcano on the moon somehow casts doubt on climate change science.
What?
It's not like we've been up there burning fossil fuels. Nye, clearly taken by surprise, patiently and slowly explained to Scott that no, volcanoes have nothing to do with fossil fuels.
Does it go, you know, anywhere close to the climate change debate that's underway here on Earth? I mean, you know, if the moon had erupting volcanoes a few years ago, well, a few million years ago, however you want to put it, you know, it's not like we've been up there burning fossil fuels.
No, volcanoes are not connected to the burning of fossil fuels.
No,
connected to mining.
What?
Can I say the pause was the best? Yeah. How do I
respond to that?
Magma is not oil.
It's underground. So
I don't get it. I love the second part of the story.
Worms are underground too. So. Global warming is caused by worms. I'm the smartest boy in class. Wow.
Look, I have a list of things I have to believe. I get it every morning.
Bill, tell me about the rabbits again.
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
Scott's lunar confusion comes on the heels of celebrated astrophysicist Bill O'Reilly's famous query, how'd the moon get there? Who put it there? O'Reilly, you'll recall, had argued that the rising and falling of the tides proved the existence of God and was lashing out at the pinheads, who rightly noted that the moon's gravity was actually responsible for tidal movement. And the moon, it turns out, most likely, quote-unquote, got there when a huge celestial body collided with Earth about 50 million years after first
There's no gravity on the moon. I saw astronauts jumping up and down there. There's no gravity. How could there be gravity on the moon?
In a related story...
The moon launch, forget it. We'll do it live. You know what?
We'll do it live.
We'll do it fine.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
The moon has...
thing sucks.
One-sixth the gravity of Earth. Yeah, it still has gravity. God.
Science that just eludes those people.
Confusing right-wing world. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we continue more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Who doesn't?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Cha, totally. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Sunny writes, Steph, is the problem that Boner just stinks at his job, or is that Pelosi just so totally rocked it when it was her job? Number two, when he says bipartisan, does he mean both Republicans and Tea Party? And number three, if we're going to all go Harry Potter nerdly now, when do we start smashing Horcruxes?
Oh, stop it.
I don't know.
It's not even Harry Potter, it's Frankenstein. And Frankenstein made this monster, and the monster destroyed Frankenstein himself.
There you go.
I think the important thing is that Christine O'Donnell is not a hobbit. Pay attention, everybody.
I'm not a hobbit. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect. For instance, I do have thick, luxuriant thatches of fur on the tops of my feet. And that's from all the witchcraft. And my werewolf lover. But not from being a hobbit. Just like you, I really, really love Twilight. Not Lord of the Rings, though. It's too long. And boring. I'm Christine O'Donnell. And I approve of this message.
Go Team Jacob! All right. Terrific. Thank you. All right. Oh, heavens. The Governor Soros from New Jersey planned to return to a full day of work on Friday, a day after he received emergency hospital treatment for breathing problems.
Oh, dear.
Related to asthma.
But the hospital wants you to know the stretcher is fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, John! Fugelsang threw out the first fat joke. Okay. Christie said he would work out with his trainer this morning. I don't know if that's...
His trainer?
He has a trainer? When did that happen?
Has a trainer? If you're a personal trainer, you can't put that on your resume.
No, I don't think
no.
so. No. I love this part of the story. Christy, 48, uses an inhaler for asthma and is overweight. Really?
Really?
I hadn't noticed.
Couldn't tell.
Thank you for the news, the breaking news there. The governor told reporter reporters his breathing problems are likely the result of human weather and summer allergies and not related to being 1,000 pounds.
Oh, no.
Christy
no,
said
no,
he would,
no.
He said he would continue to watch his diet. As yeah. he shuffles it into his face.
I always like it when people who are opposed to citizens getting government-funded health care have their lives saved by government-funded health care. Mm.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He says he did not anticipate making any lifestyle changes as a result
no.
of the incident yesterday. For instance, not having taxpayers pay to drive
now.
His fat ass from the government-funded helicopter the 100 yards to his son's baseball game.
It's insane. Okay. The 100-yard waddle should be part of his workout routine.
Yeah.
You'd think his Whoa. Trainer would tell him that.
Yeah.
He has a trainer.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Let's Holy go to cow.
Jill and that's, yeah, that was a little a Scooby-Doo moment. Hi, I'm Chris Christie's trainer.
Really?
Yeah, hi, I'm Lindsay Lohan's life coach.
You're worse at your job than Boehner.
Jill in Albuquerque. Hello, Jill.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I have a question. In New Mexico, where I live, and in Arizona, where I used to live, if you saw somebody doing something against the law, you had the right as a citizen to do a citizen's arrest. Mm-hmm. Now,
can we pull Congress over today?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. As a citizen of the United States, why can't I do a citizen's arrest against all these lollipops in there that are
yep.
trying to
oh,
hurt
lollipops.
Our country and get them for, like, treason?
Yeah, I want to see John Boehner scrambling over the back fence like in Cops with his pants falling down, stepping on a Schlitz can. Watch
that
your head.
Be a bottle of Jack in this guy's friend.
Yeah.
Tony in Vancouver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just got a comment or two to make about this debt ceiling debate.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me see if I got this from a Canadian perspective, of course. Eh? But let me see if we got this straight. You've got a country here that's got a problem with spending money.
Yep.
And yet you've got now I think it's 6 wars going, 2 more probably coming up. 800 military bases,
mm-hmm.
untold billions and billions of dollars in defense spending.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, before you ask, we don't know what that's all about because we just don't. Because we're America.
We can't afford
it's what we do. Yes,
well,
exactly.
Constant
yeah.
wars everywhere.
Yes.
Jim,
hmm?
Who's on crutches after chasing an intruder? At 2:30 in the morning down hotel hallway.
He is on crutches after chasing an intruder down a hotel hallway.
I don't know how you ask these questions. Anyway, it's Alex Trebek.
No, you give the answer.
Oh!
And they...
Oh,
yeah. Boy, you screwed that up.
I really screwed that up.
He's on crutches after chasing an intruder down a hotel hallway.
Who is?
Who is?
Alex
Trebek. There's no redos in life.
He's been washed up since he lost the mustache. You're nothing without that mustache, Trebek.
He was sleeping in a San Francisco hotel room, and an intruder broke into the room, grabbing money and valuables, and he ruptured his Achilles tendon.
Ah, yeah.
Ouch.
Chasing the burglar down the hall.
Yeah.
Ow.
What?
That hurts. Oh,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
It takes months to heal, too.
Yes. I know.
David Beckham was out for 6 months after he ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah. Well, how could I forget that? He had to hang around his wife all day.
He was running away from her.
Hey, she's the fifth best singer in the history of the Spice Girls.
Crystal Harris, the former Mrs. Hugh Hefner, said they only had sex once. It lasted 2 seconds.
Oh, dear.
She said was only into her for the articles.
That's a good one, don't little black. She said he doesn't really take off his clothes. She's never seen him naked.
Well, wow. Who would want to see that naked? Really?
Weird.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Just saying. In other penis-related news, Enrique Iglesias?
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing. He pulled some people in the audience on stage and started talking about sex. An audience member said the singer's good looks would be great for getting ladies. He said, what does Spanish good looks have to do with the size of your penis? Maybe I have the Spanish looks, but I have the smallest penis in the world.
Oh.
I'm serious.
Wow. On stage he said this?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. You know, Julio would never say such a thing.
Wow.
Or Juanes.
Wow.
To all the girls I've loved before with my teeny tiny penis.
Oh.
Just a weird thing for a singer to say.
To all the girls I've loved before, it was really cold in the room that time.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I feel like the tattoo on Ada Totoro's left boob. I feel gross.
Her boobs are made of 99 buffalo.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This show is weird. 34 minutes after the hour, and it makes people weird. Mark in Columbus writes, morning, Steph and the Mooks. First, thanks for putting me in a mind-altered state while getting ready this morning. I kept saying, who's a good Jehovah God? Followed by tic-tac shaking.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Yeah. Who's a good Jehovah dog?
Go get my migraine pills.
If you liberals blow it, but for Michelle Bachmann too early in this campaign, I will never forget.
That's why we can't have nice, crazy things.
I need her around for a year.
Yay! Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Read a recent article in The Atlantic. Ideology Trump's accomplishment is 112th Congress pursues futile bills. It's the do-nothing.
That's right.
Congress, GOPers in Congress. Tina Dupuy joins us now, who wrote that very article. Hi, Tina.
I love Tina Dupuy.
Thanks for having me. Oh, John, don't start with me.
Don't start, pretty boy. Come on.
I know. I was like, oh, thank God it's on the radio, because every time I've worked with him in person, it's just beyond distracting.
I know. He's startlingly beautiful for a man. Mm. It's not fair. I know.
My wife helped with her wedding dress. That's how much I had a chance with her.
Talk about her, John.
Listen, don't bring up the ball and chain. Now, Tina, you have something in common with John. I love you're the daughter of biblical brimstone hippie revolutionaries. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's a really flowery way of saying cult.
Yes. Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, I wanted to sound more literary and throw out my prose, but yeah, I
was
born in a cult.
Yeah, my parents were missionaries, not to be confused with mercenaries, because that would actually be cool. Because John, you know, both of his parents were clergy.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So
his mother was a nun, which sounds like a setup to a joke. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, my parents were just not that. That was way too mainstream for my parents.
Interesting, this article, in terms of like just your take on this Republican Party. My dad, you know, was a congressman and ran for vice president on the Republican side. I just don't even recognize how they're governing. You know, you say the debilitating debt ceiling debate is par for the course. Instead of compromising, House Republicans keep pushing bills they know can't become law. And you compiled quite an impressive list.
Yeah, I kept on hearing the same story over and over again where they've tried to repeal the EPA and tried to defund Planned Parenthood, and they've just put writers in to defund czars. But don't worry, it'll never become law. And that's happened so many times in the last 6 months that I thought it would be illuminating to make a list.
Well, interesting,
and
Tina.
So,
right, because the president just said this today, and it's great of you to point out this isn't the first time that they're just doing a bill that they know is not going to go anywhere.
Well, and it's also not the first time that Boehner has brought something to the floor and then his own majority voted it down.
Right.
That's actually happened three times so far. One was the clean debt bill, which, of course, doesn't count, but the defunding Libya and the infamous light bulbs bill, that actually didn't pass his own majority after they brought it to the floor. So that looks really bad, among other things, for Boehner. But they've done 22 of these symbolic send a message to Washington bills when they're in Washington, and you know they could have done this much more, cheaply.
No, we've been talking about Boehner's uncontrollable caucus all morning, which is
Boehner actually means that he's not impotent.
Right.
We just talk about this because that means you know.
No, it's more than 4 hours. He can't control it. It's obviously erect and it is uncontrollable.
Oh, Stephanie.
What? Tina started it.
Tina's very right about this.
No. Wait.
He has no control of his caucus.
I'm not. This is not my fault.
Put this on her, Stephanie.
And you know what? And we still would be the kids that would be separated in class. Tina, Stephanie, opposite sides of the class. So now what's going to happen? Because you know, obviously the president called them out on it today. But here we go. The clock is ticking, and they're going, oh, we're going ahead with this today. It's not going to go anywhere like all these other bills that you've talked about, right?
Right. Even if they have the votes, which it still doesn't look, you know, they've been promising that they're not going to raise the debt ceiling. About 60, I think there was some pledge somewhere. But, I mean, they've already voted to raise the debt ceiling because they voted to pass the Ryan budget plan, which raises the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've already done this. But now they're not going to do it for whatever reason. And even if it passes, it's a horrible piece of legislation that will never go anywhere. And it's going to be number 23 on my list.
Yeah, there you go. Just another longer article for you. What? So, I mean, I know it's the question of the hour, but where do you see this going? It's anybody's guess, right?
You know, I think that at the last minute, they're going to have a clean bill. I mean, they're just going to raise the debt ceiling, and it's going to be one of those things where we'll look back and go, really? That was why the, you know, the economy, the stock market's down today, and, you know, and why we spent, you know, what is the last three, four weeks that we've been talking about this?
Screwing around,
Do you think? Yeah, I mean, and what is good for the Republicans is that we haven't done anything else.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what all these symbolic bills are. It's just stalling and not doing anything. But then they want the government not to do anything.
Then and the boner will look...
In the government, they do nothing.
The boner will look completely flaccid then, though, won't he? I mean, if they get a clean... I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, he's toast.
Yeah.
There's no way that he gets out of this.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier in the show. He's damned no matter what now. His own side will eat him.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's a bit of poetic justice. I mean, they used the useful idiots to get their majority, and now they're acting like, you know, non-useful idiots.
Right. Exactly.
And now they're going to eat their own boner, and it's not pretty.
Now, the monster killed Frankenstein.
You think a clean bill is going to go through. Do you think it's going to be one of those short-term ones, or is it going to last through the end into 2013?
It will.
I think that there's no way that they're going to be able to. I mean, that would be the worst case scenario for a clean bill that just, you know, works for 3 months. I mean, that's horrible. So I think that it's going to be, you know, the 2 years, and we're going to just have to move past this. And then they're going to shut down the government in another month and a half.
Oh, good God in heaven. Tina, what of all the do-nothing bills, what is your favorite? Because I just like the names of them myself. The do-nothing Republican
I think
bills.
The one that started it all was the repealing the job-killing health care law act.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hyperbole much?
Right. you know, that was probably my favorite. You know, then it all kind of, they stopped getting really creative with their bills, because then it was like defund Planned Parenthood, defund NPR, and it kind of got, you know, a little wonky and boring.
All things they had 6 years to do, controlling the White House, the House, and Senate, and just chose not to. They could have defunded NPR and Planned Parenthood any time.
And they're just getting more and more juvenile, don't they? It's like the president's Kenyan duty head bill.
Shut up.
Like, you know, I mean, but you're right. It's like we're in such serious times, Tina, and they really are. They're just screwing around. You know, they're just playing
politics.
Yeah, and
they have responsibility for this. I mean, say they do defund Planned Parenthood, and they do, you know, gut Medicare, for example. They know that that's not going to happen, so they don't have to take responsibility for it. So they can just, bolster this, you know. They can just fuck, and they don't have to have any kind of, because they're the minority, they don't have to take any responsibility for what happens in the government, because everything's the majority's fault.
Yep.
So they can say all this radical stuff, and it's just posturing. In the piece, I call it GOP cocking, where they're just showing off for the Tea Party and saying, look how, you know, great we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they never actually have to make laws. I mean, they've passed in this Congress so far this year. They have made 14 bills in this Congress, which is unprecedented. That's about 65% less than fewer bills than you've ever we've ever seen before, and 14 bills, and only 13 didn't have Reagan's name on them.
Yeah, yeah. And still...
They're naming things after people who we all like. That's the only thing that they've done this session. I mean, it's astonishing.
And, John, as your dad often says, the teabaggers are still testy. I mean, it's very...
Yes, they do get testy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Tina brings out the jokes in me. I don't really know why. It's just this interview has been all just...
Yeah,
jokes on my side.
Yeah, right. No, I really do that to people.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I figured, you know, you're here for all the smart and information and stuff, so I'll just fill in the, you know, jokes.
It is amazing to consider that Obama's package, which they're so afraid of, the stimulus did contain like $300 billion in tax cuts, and it's the first time, and they're saying it didn't work. The stimulus didn't work. That's the first time the Republicans have ever admitted tax cuts didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay,
because it's Obama's tax cuts didn't work.
This show is always, it's... There's no dick jokes in this show ever. I'm all in.
No.
Yeah, exactly. We save them all for you. Tina Dupuy, who wrote a fabulous piece in The Atlantic, who we love, and now we're going
Tina's
to have,
a great stand-up
have
too.
Back and have subject her to this some more. Tina Dupuy, thanks so much for your time.
It's been so much fun, guys. Thank
all right,
you
thank
so
you.
And,
oh, she's a bad influence on me. I don't
smoking
know
hot.
She is smoking
God.
Hot.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Smoking hot. What
Tim,
a way.
That's so unlike you to mention this something
married,
like that.
She's married. It's so awful. It's horrible.
All right. Let's finish up a little celebrity stack.
Yay.
John, you're a music dude.
Yes, indeed.
Interesting. Lady Gaga had some thoughts on Amy Winehouse. She said, it's really devastating. I think it's a lesson to the world. Don't kill the superstar. Take care of her. Take care of her.
So. Yeah, but that's America is addicted to addicts, and we're addicted to watching addicts screw up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's half the reality shows we have are just addicts blowing it.
Exactly.
And can I say really what made me really mad about Amy Winehouse?
Yes.
Everyone's saying, what a waste of talent. Oh, what a waste of talent. You know, the day she dies, they're criticizing her. She's not a waste of talent. The woman put out one of the best albums of the past 20 years. Not using your talents is a waste of talent. Mm-hmm. But Amy Winehouse did a lot. She made great music. It's a loss of talent, and it's tragic.
Stop saying mean things about her. But she didn't use her talent the last six, you know, or last 5 years or whatever.
Well,
she didn't.
She could have put out more music, but she... Yeah, but she could have.
But she wasted it.
But she had it. No, she had a disease. She didn't waste it, okay? Saying she wasted it is like putting her down. The woman had a disease. Anyone out there who's listening who's loved someone with addiction knows what I'm talking about. She didn't waste anything.
Yeah, well, and that's what my point.
The drugs wasted her.
The world didn't kill her. She killed herself, unfortunately. But I think, all right, let a squeezy stack for Jim.
What?
Yeah, it seems like I like to wake Jim back up every now and again.
No, I'm up. I'm staring at a picture of Tina Dupuis.
Oh, jeez.
What? Awake?
Okay.
I'm awake, is what I'm saying.
Denise Richards had a lesbian experience with another celebrity. Just thought you'd like a little something for you, Annie.
Do we know who?
Well, funny you should mention it. Dina, I love the superficial. Denise Richards has clearly reached index card number 4 lesbian stuff in the stack her publicist gave her. Here she is on Stern talking about the time she lady banged a mystery female celebrity. Stern said,
Can you say that on the air?
She just did.
Richards, me, Rand Coy saying, you would know who she is. She's a girly girl. She's beautiful.
Mm. Was it Katy Perry? Stephanie Miller?
No. But not that I remember. Mm. Jesse James. Wow. Who knew he would have trouble with women? That's weird. His first wife, he had his first wife arrested for harassment. Oh, dear. She's a former porn star. She
was taken
into custody because she was trying to call their daughter on a cell phone, which is off. So ex-porn star Janine Sturr resorted to calling. Jesse left multiple messages, which he told the police cited harassment. After his marriage to Janine, Jesse wed, as we recall, Sandra Bullock. And they split after his affair with the tattoo model, and he was just engaged to another California tattooist.
Kat Von D from
yes,
LA.
But they just broke off their engagement earlier this week, citing his douche nozzleness, probably, as the reason. I'm just going to guess. The fact that he's a giant weed and a stick of Nazi proportions.
Sure, but he among you who hasn't cheated on your Oscar-winning wife with a white power tattoo model can cast the first stone.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly. Thank you, ecclesiastical MOOC. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, guess what? I'm leaving!
Way to let her, John, prepare for this, Stephanie.
It's my Friday tradition. I let listen. This is John Fieldstein's rant. This last segment.
This is my moment.
This is where it's his moment.
My once in a lifetime.
Stephanie,
contrary to your lack of preparation for the show, some people need to prepare for a segment.
No, John Fieldstein doesn't. He has talent.
I have to go steal all those Jeff Foxworthy jokes.
This is where he gets to shine. I get to take off early on Friday
and
start drinking.
He had the fence all 3 hours, and now you broke the fence and he has to
build it again.
Nobody can stop me. Okay, 47 minutes.
Your name's on the show.
All right. John Fugelsang finishes Fridays with Fugelsang, and I'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See?
We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fieldstein, filling in for Steph in the final minutes, in spite of popular demand. Can I say really quickly?
What?
The other day I was cleaning out my crack pipe, right? And I'm scraping the inside to get all the little bits of rock so none of the crack goes to waste. Can't let any of the crack go to waste. Have to save it. And I realized I am just turning into my dad. And that's the way it is. Now here's the thing. I love the Democrats. You know I do. And yep. I love Republicans. The only thing I don't like about Republicans is they keep forcing me to vote for Democrats. And that's not nice. But here's the thing. At this point, isn't the Democratic Party, my friends, running the risk of turning into like one of those S&M slaves who forgets their safety word, you know, and just keeps getting punched and punched?
I mean, sure.
It's like, boom, 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 boom. Well, you can't touch Social Security. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, you can do that, but we're gonna raise taxes on the wealthiest. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, well, you can't touch Medicare. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, if I ever divorce, I really love Barack Obama. I'm voting for the guy. No haters, please. But I'm just saying, if I ever get divorced, I want Barack Obama to be my ex-wife's lawyer because he will give away everything.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, rope-a-dope only goes so far. At some point, you have to start punching back.
You know, uh-huh, exactly. And that's what people want to see. And that's what Republicans will respect. And that's what independents will respect as well.
That's the only thing they respect.
Because Bill Clinton was able to pull off, when they shut down the government under Bill Clinton, he was able to skewer it that Newt Gingrich was a bad guy. Uh-huh. And if this guy can't do it, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I mean, I know that whoever gets reelected is the one that Wall Street feels safest about. And for any president, a big part of your first term is, how can I be Wall Street's biatch? And how can I make them think that they'll be safe with me? Because Wall Street thinks, don't change biatches in midstream. But man, it's like, when I look at how Obama's just taking a pummeling from these unworthy, horrible uh-huh. people, if I wanted a moral punching bag, I would have voted for John Kerry, although I did. I live in a world where John Kerry is still living out his second term because he was the one guy who came out and talked about these Benedict Arnold companies, to use his language, who shipped our jobs overseas.
Romney's.
Exactly, like Romney's. He made his money by inheriting it and then created jobs by shipping them to Bangladesh. And I'm still waiting, Bill Clinton, for my NAFTA prize in the mail. Okay, I can say these things because Stephanie's gone.
That's right. I'm surprised she's not calling in right now.
Oh, I know, right? She's already, she just, her car just
like... This is an Obama apologist show! You can't be saying things like this!
I get called on the bottom of apologist every day. Yeah, well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because that's how Stephanie really talks off the air, folks. That's what she really says.
And again, it's like
the Republicans, they're just like, you know, everything is greed, greed, greed. They're like, you know, what can you give me? Don't take from me. They're like the Lucky Charms leprechaun saying, oh, you're after me, Lucky Charms. Kids, they're going to take your Lucky Charms. They're going to come take your Lucky Charms, and then they're going to come for your guns,
kids.
I don't
have any Lucky Charms.
They're going to come for your guns, and they're going to take your freedoms away, children.
Their tanks, and their guns, and their bombs.
Oh, there we have a Cranberries reference
from
2011. Dave's in Minneapolis. He's calling up. Dave, tell me all about it.
Well, thanks, John. The reason I'm calling is we shouldn't be terribly surprised by the teabaggers' behavior. These people are addicted to crisis. Mm-hmm. They get a real, real jolt out of it. They love to have, and of course, they always function with some sort of moral outrage, you know, which is usually fake.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would like to think, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, if we were to go into these individuals' families of origin, we would see crazy, crazy home life. Because often we're seeing that with individuals who are put into positions of power, they try to recreate the very environment they grew up in within the environment that they're now working.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks are completely addicted to everything being chaos because that way they can feel like they're in control.
Exactly right. And again, you know, our brand is crisis, like the documentary said. And the more things are horrible, the more they can blame it on President Obama. I mean, they're going to create all this drama and do nothing for the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the American people voted for a guy who said he was going to put the taxes on the wealthiest back up to Bill Clinton levels when we ran surpluses.
Right, and it's not going to happen because he doesn't understand. It would seem that these people are crazy, and you can't fix crazy. You have to contend with it and deal with it as a rational person.
Yeah, and again, they hide behind the Bible as well.
Right, exactly.
You know, and these are the people who want you to believe that Christ wants us to help the poor by cutting any programs that could possibly help the poor.
Yeah.
And that Christ told you to avoid wealth by cutting taxes for the wealthiest and making their lives easier. Alan West and all these guys, their agenda is to make, and I'm not making this up, I'm not exaggerating here, and tell this to your GOP friends and your coworkers, folks, their agenda is to make Medicare recipients pay more and to make billionaires and the wealthiest 400 Americans pay less in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's on paper.
Well, I remember something you said a few weeks ago to a guy who said, well, we're supposed to help the poor, but up to a point. And what I loved when your comment back to him is, yeah, because Jesus always had a caveat in there when he said, you know, love those who do not love you, help those who can't help themselves. you know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so they like to take this more. They twist and turn and do anything they can to, so their own gospel gets declared and not the true one. So
yes, sir, you are right, Dave, and thank you for the call. He's exactly right. And you know, again, it comes back to the basic morality these guys claim to go by. And this is why so many people think Christians are creeps. On a lighter note, I would like to point out that an entire group of Catholic academics sent John Boehner a letter, and a group of Catholic bishops. And again, they don't have the most credibility in the world this particular decade, but we're not talking about their own sins. We're talking about what's actually in the Gospels. And they all point out time and time again in Matthew 25 how Jesus says, your job is to help the least of these. Mm-hmm. That is not what the Republicans are doing. They are flunkies for the upper 2%, my friends. If you're a Republican and you're not a millionaire, they don't care about you. Thank you so much, Jim Ward. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
And let's just remind, it's the Stephanie Miller Show, and Glenn Beck, Planet Earth is proof that God likes multiculturalism. Have a great weekend, kids.